2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program. Yes, we are live in Los Angeles still. The conclusion of Pac-12 Media Day was just a few moments ago, and here we are finishing up. First one's in, last one's out. That's kind of our motto here at the program. So, yes, we are going to be going over a couple of things that we learned here. Scott Mitchell, have you had your how's your stay in Los Angeles been so far?
Oh, it's been awesome. I've loved today. I'm always shockingly surprised, both positive and negative. You know, there's some people who think, not going to be very impressive, and they are. And then other people you're kind of expecting more out of, and they're not. I mean, we had, 35, 36 interviews that we did today. Just amazing. A lot of great information, a lot of great insight into the Pac-12 and where it is and what's going on.
So well, let's just let's fire it off here with our 7:05 cut, where we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that did happen, our first impressions here. It's the 7:05 cut right here on KSL. Let's do it.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for an amazing free offer. Scott, the day of players parading through and us interviewing two players from each school, the head coach from each school, and even the commissioner of the Pac-12, the new commissioner, George Klyavkov. We've got a lot to get through. You're going to hear some of those right off the bat. We've got so many things we want to get to. But, Scott, I want to know what your first impressions were. We interviewed all those guys, and we didn't even, have a moment to download to one another what our thoughts were on everything. I mean, right off the bat, I think the thing that we're all thinking is what does the future of the Pac-12 look like? And we'll hear that George Klyavkov interview of asking him that exact thing. But with all the things that are swirling around, football still has to be played. What are your impressions with how these teams are right now going into this 2021 season?
I think the Pac-12 kind of gets a little bit of a bad rap. The thing that jumped out at me were these coaches. So many of them were just so impressive. The way they talk about their passion for their programs, the way they prepare, what motivates them. How they really care for these young men, how they have, they just love football. And, I think of Carl Durrell was just super impressive from Colorado. And he's a coach that's been, has tremendous experience of coaching all over in college football and the NFL. And the job he did at Colorado a year ago, because you kept saying something today, we want all of these programs to do well. We want the standard of play in the Pac-12 to increase, and a really good college football coach goes a long way. And then you have Jed Fish, who's got just a monumental task at Arizona this year. And how I didn't know what to expect. It was the last interview we had in the day, and you just get a sense that this project at Arizona isn't beyond him. You talk to his players and they're like, this guy has really changed my perspective and changed my life in the 7 months that we've been together. And so what you get a sense of, and then you have the David Shaws, the Jimmy Lakes, and you have
guys who are great interviews.
Yeah, Kyle Whittingham is just amazing, and Clay Hilton and Herm Edwards. I mean, you just go on and on. I mean, the Pac-12 has got it right with football coaches. They really do, and that is a massive start. And I think in following the Pac-12, probably the most impressive collection of head football coaches maybe ever. I mean, amazing.
I look at this group and I see, right off the bat, the thing that I thought was every year everybody comes in with some high expectations. You know, well, we expect to win the Pac-12. We heard that all the way down to Arizona, who hasn't won a game in 12 tries. And at the same time, when they're done, you kind of believe them. Like, you don't walk away and think to yourself, because these athletes are sitting right in front of you, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, this kid's been working their tails off, and they've been working, and they've just been going like crazy. And so now you look at it and you say, yeah, of course they think they're going to be able to win the Pac-12. And when you hear from, Kyle Whittingham, you really do believe it from him for sure. Britton Covey and Devin Lloyd were just amazing interviews. That's from the local perspective. Then you're scared to death for Utah in a lot of these other cases because you go, man, Arizona State's ready. Clay Helton is as cocky. Well, I don't know, cocky's not the word.
He seems at peace.
He's less.
You felt a couple of years ago that he was a little bit on the hot seat, and I don't sense that from him as much.
Certainly as players. I mean, everybody said, I think one of the UCLA players said, man, yeah, USC is the worst. You know, they just are so cocky. Well, they're so in their own head. And that's part of their brand.
We like that they're USC because we wouldn't have anyone to make fun of.
The role they play in the conference. And so there are so many of these teams that come in here, high hopes, high expectations, and yet swirling around it are all these different storylines too. With Arizona State, it's recruiting violations. With Utah, you think about the death of a major key player on your team and having to address replacing him, and you almost feel bad talking about replacing Ty Jordan. All these teams are coming in with something. The thing that they all had in common, I'll tell you right now, when we asked about the question about COVID-19 and how they dealt with, all these teams said, man, it was super hard. And then they would be very quick to correct themselves, didn't they? They were like, but you know what? All these other teams also had to. So I was super impressed by these teams. I think at the end of everything, I still don't know how good Utah is going to be. I know you told Kyle that you picked those guys to maybe win the whole Pac-12. But, you know, they're going to have to at least go through some version of a fake quarterback.
You have to watch Kyle Whittingham when you interview him, though.
Tell me what I'm looking for.
Because you bring up the question, and if he agrees with you, he'll actually agree with you. He won't say anything, but he'll kind of give you – because he talked about how it's a deep, talented football team at Utah, and he sees that, and he knows he's got a good football team. He knows he's got a real shot at winning a Pac-12 championship, and he's alluded to that. He said, "That's what I want. You know, I want that Pac-12 championship." So I know there's some question marks. I get that. I understand that.
Not everybody's going to finish first, is what I'm saying. So.
No, heavens no, no. But Utah will.
That's
kind of how it is. The thing I think. That really there was a consistent message about the name, image, likeness, NIL, because that's – and we talked to most
of – This is the way players are able to get paid kind of nowadays, yes.
I would say 100% of them, and I don't know if they've been coached to say this, but they all said, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm not really pursuing it, too far, other than I know I've got to perform on the field. That's where it's going to matter for me, and so – I just need to make sure that if these opportunities do come up and I have a chance to make some money, I need to keep my priorities right, and I need to take care of playing well on the field first and foremost above anything else. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
And how did the coaches react typically when we asked them about it?
Well, I think they were somewhat supportive.
Mostly.
But it's one of those. It's just we want to be supportive of the players. We want to help them out. But I think in the back of their minds, these coaches are probably a little bit concerned that this could certainly become a distraction.
Coach Whittingham was very, very quick to say, I don't talk to him at all about it. I can't talk to him at all about it. So we'll hear that interview plus a ton more. There are A lot of things that we still want to get to, of course, is we want to break down some of the Pac-12 media storylines, some of the things that were talked about. George Klyavkov, who is the new commissioner of the Pac-12, you're going to be able to hear from him momentarily and the conversation we had with him today. He's excited, Scott, because he's brand new. And so he's willing to talk to us a little bit. And he's got to answer some of those questions. And he's eager to say that he was not like the last guy. Not that the last guy, not that there was anything wrong with
there
that.
There was only one Rolex watch on today.
There was,
there wasn't two. There so wasn't I think you know it's an improvement.
I'm really excited to see what the commissioner can bring. You can listen to that conversation right around the corner here. More to go right here. It's KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Welcome back to Pac-12 Media Day right here in Los Angeles, California. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback and former University of Utah great, Scott Mitchell to my left, and the commissioner, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, George Klyavkov, on the program. And, George, welcome to the Pac-12. Have you been excited about this whole day?
I've been very excited about the day. You know, my timing is impeccable, given everything that's going on in collegiate athletics.
Not been a boring summer.
You know, my career has been about being in places that are in turmoil and kind of helping people figure that out. I figured I'd have to do one or two of these very difficult things in my first year, not six or seven of them. But it's exciting and it's fun. It's three-dimensional chess, and I love it.
So with the whole landscape of conference realignment clearly at front and center right now,
yeah.
And the Pac-12 trying to find itself, you know, where is it relevant? What happens? Where you know, how proactive do you have to be and are you to kind of keep pace with what's happening nationally?
Well, I think a couple of thoughts there, right? One is with all the realignment that's going on in the East, I think it actually strengthens our position. We are the only Power 5 conference with schools in the Mountain and Pacific time zone, right? We own half of the country from a Power 5 perspective. I don't think that anyone believes that we actually need to expand in order to protect and grow and thrive. So we feel good about where we are today with our 12 schools. We are also not actively out in the market trying to poach any schools. But I will tell you, my phone has blown up in the last 5 days. I've heard from more schools that are interested in membership in the Pac-12 than I think anyone would have expected. At the end of the day, those decisions about whether or not to extend an invitation are made by our presidents and chancellors. Requires a three-quarter vote to offer someone an opportunity to join the conference. Pretty high bar to entry for lots of reasons for the Pac-12. So we're going to actively listen to everyone who's reached out to us, and then we're going to make a recommendation to our presidents and chancellors about whether or not to expand. But we're not going to expand for the purpose of expanding. We don't think there's a need to be larger just because other conferences have more teams.
What does it look like, your phone blowing up and a pitch from a school that goes, hey, man, you in the market? Like, what does that even look like? Is it a text from you know, somebody who's like, hey, we just want to introduce myself. I'm from San Diego State University. Like, what? How does that work?
Yeah, it's all about personal relationships and, oh, you know, you used to work with that guy and he's connected to this school, so he's introducing you to someone at the school.
Sure.
Sometimes it's directly from the school, from someone at different levels of the school or someone who used to be an administrator at the school. We're not going to talk about any of the specifics of who's reached out.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, but it, you know, it's everyone you could imagine who figures out a way to get the commissioner's cell phone number.
So clearly the Pac-12 in the revenue sports, right, like football and basketball, kind of has an image problem right now.
I don't think it's an image problem. I think it's a performance problem, if we're honest with each other. Right? So it's been a long time since we've won in those sports.
So how do you change that?
Well,
how can you help and how can you change
that? Yeah, it's a kind of relationship between us and the schools. The schools have to do their part and the conference has to do its part. So several years ago, as an example, the conference formed a men's basketball strategic working group. Multi-year effort, looked at every single decision that we make at the conference level about scheduling and anything else related to basketball with the goal of making changes designed to increase NCAA invites, Final Four appearances, and eventually national championships. And I think the proof of the pudding is what happened in last year, right? We're on the right path.
Right.
We're doing good. This morning I announced that we're forming a football working group with the exact same mission of clearly identifying changes that can be made in our non-conference and conference scheduling, number of conference games, what time of day do we play, everything that we have any say over. And the idea is the goals are simple. Increase the number of CFP invitations, whether that means four or eventually more invitations going out every year, and win national championships. That's not a guarantee, but the approach is do everything you can to optimize the chances.
What have you What have you – I mean, obviously, we have a lot of Utah listeners to our programs. Yep. And what's been your relationship so far in getting to know Chris Harlan and – or Mark Harlan and getting to – I'm mixing up Chris Hill and
two,
Mark Harlan.
Two different it's been, you know, ADs. It's,
yeah. We have them all. We have,
yeah, yeah.
We have them all. So
no, Mark, of course.
How has it been getting to know Mark Harlan, and what does the University of Utah mean to the conference?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it proves that you can add a school to the conference, and that school and the conference can both get better
right.
as a result. So that's great. What I would say is Mark or any of the other ADs have been incredibly receptive of working together. I think there's this kind of newfound collaboration between the ADs and the conference office. And it started with all of the ADs collectively saying, we know you don't start till July 1st, but we want to meet with you in person. We're all going to fly to Las Vegas to meet you even before your first day. So the middle of June, they all flew to Las Vegas. We spent a day at Allegiant Stadium. We took a tour. But then we had substantive, serious meetings about football, men's basketball, and the other sports and how we can help each other. And then we all went out to dinner and had some drinks. And that's where it starts, with personal
sure.
relationships.
Sure.
What's been the biggest surprise to you that you didn't expect, in a positive way, maybe you anticipated it a certain way, but what's been a pleasant surprise for you?
Well, I think everyone I've worked with so far that's associated with the conference, whether they're at a school or at the conference office or at the network, has such pride in being part of the Pac-12. And, you know, I knew that people were proud of the Pac-12, but the overwhelming pride that people have in being part of this organization has surprised me.
This has been such a wild offseason, I guess, offseason for college football, but it's really turned into that. It's been so interesting with the NIL stuff, with possibility of college football playoff expansion, with, you know, all these moves that have been you know, happening over the last week. What's the thing that you look at and you go, like, does the NIL stuff – does it not scare you, but do you look at it and go, that's a step in the right direction and we have to be doing more of this? Or how does it take over?
Yeah,
I mean, it could be a total it can absolutely be a distraction as well.
So, no, NIL is actually, for me, a competitive advantage for the Pac-12 schools if we do it correctly. Now, there's a fine line. We have to make sure that NIL does not get used to induce a player to go to a particular school and does not become pay for play. But as long as we draw that bright line, the conference, and I particularly am in favor of the student-athletes having the same opportunities that every other student who's not an athlete has to make money from their name, image, and likeness. And we have to do it the right way. This morning we announced that the Pac-12 network is actually going to support the athletes by creating a licensing program. So if you're a company that has a relationship with a student-athlete and you want to license highlights of that student-athlete to use in your commercial endeavors, we're going to create that licensing
oh, wow.
program. That we're the first conference
wow.
to do that.
That's amazing.
It's the first of many efforts that we're going to have at the conference level. Every single school has educational programs and other things they're doing for the students, but we're going to lean heavily into NIL.
George Kliavkov, the new commissioner of the Pac-12. Boy, it's drinking from a fire hose, but it looks like you handled it really, really well so far. So
I appreciate
thanks for being with us.
Thank you and everyone else for the warm welcome.
All right. More to go here on the program. Stay with us right here on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell still here in Los Angeles. Yeah, wrapping up Pac-12 Media Day. And when I say wrapping it up, I mean we are the last ones in the room. That's dedication right there, Scott Mitchell. Everybody else decided to fly back tonight late. I don't know why. There was a two-hour traffic jam on the way to the airport. We are doing our show tonight and flying home in the morning, and tons of stuff.
When we'll get into two-hour traffic jam in the morning.
It's fine. We've learned quite a bit here at Pac-12 Media Day, and joining us right now on the program from Tokyo, Japan, covering the Olympics for KSL5 Television, is Jeremiah Jensen. JJ, what did you miss most about being at Pac-12 Media Day?
What did I miss most? The catered meal.
Well, there you go.
Not bad.
No. I missed talking to the athletes, and it's actually a good time to get the coaches because it's right before the season, so they're not
yes.
grizzled and worn out and bitter and angry and worried about losing their jobs. They have all this hope and this optimism, so they're pleasant to talk to for
that's
one.
True.
So I do
well,
miss
yeah, that's what we find.
The athletes.
We find that every team thinks they're going to win the Pac-12 championship this year, and
yeah,
that they've got the team to happen.
Really curious about what's going on in the Olympics. Simone Biles, tell us what's happening there.
So it was a pretty shocking moment. I think everyone was stunned because we all thought that Simone Biles was invincible, and it was just inevitable that this was going to be her Olympics, that she was going to dominate and win gold and everything. And when she withdrew on her first event in the team today, it was shocking. And I think everybody realized that, wait a minute, she's not going to keep going. She's out, and this team's not going to win gold. And I think when you look at athletes, you guys know this, we put the best athletes on a pedestal, like Tom Brady. Like, do you really ever expect Tom Brady to fail? And when he does, everybody's like, I can't believe it. Well, you know, it's funny how that works. But and that's what we're kind of doing with Simone Biles right now, is it's sparked quite a conversation. There's been criticism. There's been support. But ultimately, we're all having a conversation today about mental health because of her decision to withdraw.
What do the rest of the games look like for her? Is she withdrawn also from the individual events that are going to be a part of gymnastics as well?
To use a sports term, she's listed as day to day. We don't know yet whether she's going to perform in the all around. We don't know if she's going to perform in the individual events yet. We're going to wait to find out. It would be crazy if this is the last we see of Simone Biles in competition. But that's a real possibility right now. I mean, to me, that just doesn't feel right. She's been so good. I mean, she's done things in this sport, and she's done these difficult things that are so great that they've put her name on them. I mean, she's incredible. And for that to be the lasting image of Simone Biles at the Olympics doesn't feel right. So I hope that she feels better and she can find a way to get out there for all around and for the individuals. But the shocking way that this went today, it's possible that we don't see her ever again.
You know, having these issues, mental health issues, that, you know, they're not, they'll attack anyone. Whether you're a great athlete.
We've heard about it today at Pac-12 media.
Yeah. And so it's a real thing, and you hope that, and that takes a lot of courage to kind of realize and maybe figure out that you're in that situation. And, you know, I don't get the criticism by any stretch of the imagination. And, I know how competing at a high level and feeling that, you know, struggle on you mentally, how taxing that can be on you. And it's a real thing. I mean, and we've seen it and see it in a lot of people and wherever they are. So we just hope that things work out well.
Yeah, I know everybody's wanting to see what her medal count's going to be, you know, and in relation to USA's medal count and everything. But, you know, in the end, you hope she's all right, and you hope whatever she's going through, they can kind of right that ship for her personally. JJ, the next couple of days, the Olympics, what are we looking forward to? What is the word about Team USA in basketball? Like, what about women's soccer? All these things that are rolling up here. What are some things, good news from Tokyo? Tell me.
Some good news. Jake Gibb won today in beach volleyball.
Nice.
So that's good news. I don't have a lot for you guys. I mean, we're going to get back in the pool here shortly. Things are going to pick up there. I think at 10 o'clock is some new, 10 o'clock here. I guess it would be 8 o'clock. Mountain time. Some races are going to get picking up 9 o'clock. Well, I don't know. What time is it? I have no idea. So the U.S. is hoping for some more success in the pool. I think that's where you're going to find and look, because they've had an incredible Olympics as far as swimming goes. I know Katie Ledecky won silver, but she's got another chance to win gold. To call what the U.S. swimmers have done in the pool anything but a success would be wrong. They've been great. So look for success there. As far as the U.S. women's national team, I mean, that wasn't really – they just needed to get past the group stage. But I have doubts about them, and I have doubts about the basketball team. And until both teams prove to me otherwise, I'm not going to expect them to win gold, and they could lose out on medals. So let's hope that they prove all of us wrong, switch things up once they get into the knockout stage of this Olympics.
As we've been talking, and as Alex mentioned, you know, some strange things, I think, things that you would probably say wouldn't normally happen. I mean, Simone Biles is about as sure a lock on a gold medal as you possibly could get in the basketball and the soccer. And I just wonder, as we've talked through this, Is there maybe some kind of residual impact from the delay of the games, from all of the COVID issues, from, you know, is getting maybe more focused on things outside of your sport, like social injustice and all of those things? Do you think that maybe is having an impact? I'm not saying this in a sense of being negative towards what people are doing, but I just wonder if there's some kind of impact or toll it's taking on these athletes, not being able to be just totally dialed in 100%.
That's a good question. I mean, I think I don't think that you can just take a general view on that. I think you have to look at each individual athlete. Look at Simone Biles. Look at the amount of pressure that was placed on her in this Olympics.
I think we lost JJ, connection issue. Man, we had one last night too, but you know what?
Well, he only has so many minutes. The hamster just goes around the wheel so many times. Need more cheese to the hamster so we can crank up some power, I guess. I don't know.
That's true. You know, I am.
But I wonder about the whole thing, you know, just and maybe it's not something that's you're consciously aware of.
It's a tough thing to think about.
I just wonder, you know.
Simone Biles will – there's no way that it doesn't enter her mind where she would say – If we would have done this on time last year, I would have obviously been the we would have been the all around team champions. She still has a lot of Olympics to go if she's up for it. You know what I mean? Like, but I think a lot of us sit here and go, "Hey, you're going to be okay. Hey, just want a few more goals, would you?" I mean, there's that part of me, you know, yeah. From the American side of things, where you just go, "We need more gold medals here. Let's watch a gold medal count." But these athletes are all individual people. She's the greatest of all time already going into this. You know what I mean? Like, she has an 8-year undefeated streak in her sport. You know what I mean? Who can say that kind of thing? But she's also, she's getting to the end of her career from an Olympic standpoint, too. So I think, I mean, 24 is relatively old in gymnastics years, but. I hope she's okay. I hope she's not beating herself up over the withdrawal. I hope she's not, I hope people are understanding exactly why somebody would feel like this and not being too critical of her as well.
And so. All great champions have had defeats. You know, they've had those moments. And
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know of anyone that's not immune to that. And, you know, it's just kind of an interesting narrative to see what they do about it. She says, "Oh, okay, I had this moment," and maybe she just says, "Hey, I've had enough and I don't move on." Or maybe she says, "No, I want redemption. I want to answer back to this." And one of the great things about sports is when those things happen. I mean, it's real life drama and it's fascinating to see how the human mind reacts and responds, and sport does a great job of that.
Well, let's take a break here. When we come back, we've got more to go on the program. You're going to hear another one of our interviews from today. We wanted to bring you the most important interviews for Utah fans, Coach Kyle Whittingham. Our conversation we had with him this afternoon, you'll be able to hear that first right here on KSL's Unrivaled. His reaction to name, image, likeness, talking a little bit about the conference overall and where the Utes stand in the not just the Southern Division, but also in the Pac-12 overall. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great Scott Mitchell, and current University of Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham joining us on the program. Coach Witt, I think last year with no Pac-12 media day, with nothing that resembled any sort of real season, what has been the difference for you, like mentally? I feel like there's hope now that this year is going to feel more normal, right?
Exactly, just that. And this kind of signifies that right here, just being here in L.A. and having this media day go off like a typical media day really points that we're heading in that direction. And last year was such a challenge. We only got 5 games in, had 2 games canceled on Friday, you know, day before the game.
Right.
Didn't know who you were playing necessarily until Wednesday of, you know, sometimes during the week. And so it was absolutely crazy. No blueprint, no resources to draw from to how to handle it. You know, it was just a day-to-day thing because it was uncharted territory. And so nobody had ever been through anything like that, at least nobody I knew. And so I thought our players handled it very well. They showed a lot of resiliency. They handled the adversity. And one thing for sure is they're excited to get this season underway and get back in front of our fans.
Moving into this year, you know, and you have a quarterback situation. I think it's unique in that Cam Rising won the job, got injured, wasn't able to perform in spring football. You went in the transfer portal. Charlie Brewer became available. And in the time I got to watch him in the spring game, I was just really impressed with how he handled the offense, how he was – he made great decisions. And what stood out most was that he made all the throws. You know, he was making throws inside, up the seams, down the sideline, you know, and he got the ball to the receivers at the right time and really allowed them to make plays and extend plays. And I look at that, to me it looks like the Charlie Brewer that had a lot of success at Baylor. How does he not become your star? I mean, it just feels to me like he's going to be the guy. I know you like to have that competition. You know, how does that play out in your mind right now?
Well, first of all, back to Cam Rising. He had a terrific spring in 2020, a terrific fall camp, ended up winning the job, obviously. And then, of course, the injury in the first quarter of the first game. And so, and then Charlie comes in. We weren't sure of Cam's status. You know, was he going to respond to the surgery and come back and be able to play? And so we went to the transfer portal, and Charlie was available. Had a terrific career at Baylor, had a terrific spring for us. Has been a, you know, he's our type of player. He's a Utah guy as far as his toughness, his mentality, his work habits. And so even though he had a terrific spring, you know, you can't discredit what Cam did the year before, even though he didn't get much of a season to show for it, and give him the opportunity to compete with Charlie for the job. So right now it's going to be they're both on equal footing. They'll both split the reps until we start to see some separation. Hopefully that happens sooner rather than later so we can identify the guy.
Yeah.
But it's more important we identify the right guy rather than the timing of it.
That's what we're talking about, the philosophy of it. You're like, you don't want to waste too much time on not knowing.
Right.
And trying to split the reps up is a really hard thing, too, for your offensive coaches who are like, we're trying to figure this out, but also it's tough to split reps. It never feels like it's ever 50-50.
Yeah, you're right. But that's better than trying to do it with three guys, which we've had that situation in the past. So it's a lot more manageable working with two guys. Now, the other interesting battle is for the number three spot. Pete Castelli and Jaquinton Jackson, you know, our two young freshmen, are going to be battling for who's the third guy. And so that's kind of a subplot to the whole thing.
Yeah,
but the main event is certainly Charlie and Cam competing with each other.
And you've got so many quarterbacks. I mean, you've got a lot of talent, a lot of depth at quarterback. I would say probably more than any time you've been at Utah. I mean, it's
on paper,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it looks kind of fun.
I think at the beginning of transfer portal, when we were, it's like everything, right? And now it's the NIL, it's the college football playoff, it's whatever's new. We go, I don't know if I like this. This is weird.
Right.
And the transfer portal for you guys during this offseason here, you talk about Charlie Brewer, TJ Pledger, Chris Curry, among others, right, who you look at.
Right.
That transfer portal has been a massive boost for you guys as a program. It's just interesting that it went from being like, this seems annoying to just let guys make that decision and go, versus now we want to bring in guys and make them a big part of possibly a championship season.
Right. And first of all, I think you're exactly on target with we definitely benefit from the portal. Now, it cuts both ways. We did lose a couple good players and guys that went elsewhere. But the net result, I think we came out way ahead. And time will tell. You know, a lot of those guys were not with us in spring, and so we'll see what they can do in the fall. But we feel like we certainly bolstered our team and our depth and our talent level overall through the portal.
Longest tenured coach in the Pac-12, third longest coach in college football in one program. What is your legacy? Where do you think it ends up? I know you've been here a long time.
And, yeah, I have.
And I hope you're here a lot longer.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've just been tremendous. But, you know, is your legacy cemented at this point? Are there things left undone? Where do you see yourself?
Well, first of all, I don't spend any time thinking about that.
I stay up at night.
Scott's working on the bus, what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm always looking forward and trying to figure out how to make a first down. But one thing that our program needs to do is win the Pac-12. I mean, there's no secret about that. We're not hiding behind that or from that. But you know, we've been to the championship game a couple times, you know, two of the last 3 years, and we're knocking at the door, but we've got to be able to finish the deal. And I think that's the next step in the evolution of this program. And when you look at, you know, we've been in the Pac-12, what, 10, 11 years now. You know, there hasn't been a whole bunch of people that have won the you know, it's all the North except for that 1 year that SC won.
Right. Yeah.
So I think there's only three teams that have won the Pac-12 since we joined, Washington, Oregon, and and Stanford, well, maybe four, Stanford, SC. Anyway, it's not many. You know, it's been dominated by just a few teams. But that needs to happen. That's our goal. We talk about it. We work towards it. And we're going to continue working towards it until we get it done.
The commissioner came through, George Kliavkov, the new commissioner.
Say that again, George what?
George Kliavkov. Yeah.
He tells us to just call him George K.
So just moving through. I asked him beforehand, and like we kind of went through a pronunciation game together, and we got it. No, but he said there was a meeting that he had with all the coaches, all the head coaches, and I'm curious to see what did you guys think of him as a commissioner talking to just your group, and what did he tell you guys?
Well, very impressed, first of all, with what he had to say and his vision and his big picture outlook on things. A lot of the stuff we talked about is confidential. You know, it's just kind of in-house stuff. But
write it down right here.
You can tell us. We
don't. I know. I can tell you guys. But anyway, seems to be a guy that really has a great grasp. And this is not to be disparaging to the former commissioner, because Larry, you know, I thought he did a lot of good things for the conference as well. But George is a little bit different, has a different way of thinking. And I think in the long run, I think he's going to be very good for the conference.
You have a young team defensively, very talented team defensively. You've filled some holes in the transfer portal. Just me watching, you know, as a broadcasting these games and watching it closely, it feels to me like you have a really good football team. And I look at last season, and it was very short. I wonder, you know, because you need the experience, right? You need game experience. And that's what I saw the value of last year was getting those young players, okay, this is what the speed is like. This is the game. Here's some experiences. And I really feel like you have a shot this year to win the whole thing. I really do. I'm curious where you see your team this year and where they are, and are they on par? Can they win the championship
this
year?
Well, I think, first of all, we feel good about virtually every position as far as depth. Safety positions may be the one spot that is a little bit dicey with losing Nate Ritchie and then to an LDS mission, and then losing R.J. Hubert in the spring game to most likely a season-ending injury. Those are the two projected starters for this year if Nate hadn't gone on a mission. But other than that, we feel like we've got a lot of depth. Of course, you got to stay healthy. That's one of the absolute keys to having one of those ultra successful seasons is staying healthy during the course of the year. Get some breaks along the way. There's going to be some tight games where you got to have some things go your way. And so, overall, we feel like we got a chance to be very competitive. How the quarterback thing shapes up, who wins it, and how they perform is going to be obviously a big key. But just on paper, could be the deepest team we've ever had here at Utah since I've been here, as far as just depth in every position.
I would agree.
Do you try to stay totally away from the NIL stuff with your players?
Yeah, it's mandated.
But is there a part two where you go, I don't want these guys to get too wrapped up because we got to focus
absolutely.
On this?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to make sure we keep our focus and our priorities. But our job as coaches and as a program, you know, we talk about helping them build their brand, and we call it the Elevate You program, and kind of how it works. But we're precluded from having any hands-on, being an agent or a go-between. But you're right. It's and it's kind of like last year with the COVID. This is all uncharted territory with the NIL, and I could see some potential problems. I mean, you got a quarterback that's making, I guess the Alabama guy hasn't even started the game, making
million
seven
bucks.
Figures.
Yeah.
No problem. Sitting in the locker room next to your old linemen who aren't getting – anything.
Yeah. They got a lip balm.
Hey,
deal.
We blocked for this guy, and he's getting this, and I'm getting.
He'll
what?
Give him isotoner gloves.
Yeah, so
for Christmas.
It's a different dynamic that no one's dealt with at this level, the college level.
Coach Kyle Whittingham, he's the head football coach, of course, for the University of Utah, and we're plumb out of time here at Pac-12 Media Day. Coach, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for taking that extra time, and we'll talk to you during the season.
Sounds good. Always good to hang out with you guys.
All right, thank you. We'll take the break here. More to go right here on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the second hour of KSL's Unrivaled. It's our final hour here from Los Angeles at Pac-12 Media Day. Today was the Pac-12 Media Day. We had all the interviews, all the people. We were just – it was a flurry of absolute just – I mean, two athletes from each school – their head coach from each school, except for Nick Rolovich, and from Washington State. And then you had just and then the commissioner, and it's just a ton of stuff going on. I just think these are so good because, and this year it felt a lot better even because we didn't have one last year. And so All these guys are chomping at the bit to have a normal year. So far, spring has been relatively normal for all these schools. And going into camp looks kind of normal for all these guys. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, also live in Los Angeles, is Sam Farnsworth, who was here doing the TV interviews as well. Right across from us all day, hitting all these interviews on TV. we didn't pre-screen you about all this,
right.
But I want to know what your thoughts were. Like, what was the big takeaway from Pac-12 Media Day for you, Sam?
Well, the common sentiment from players and coaches that I talked with throughout the league outside of Utah is that Utah's still good, right? That they really believe that Utah is one of those teams because of the consistency that is brought with Kyle Whittingham at the helm. They're a team that's going to be physical every single year. They're a team that's going to be near the top of the standings every single year. And all those teams in the South Division know that if they want to win a South Division title, they've got to take care of business against Utah to get there as well. And so the respect, right? They have built this program. You think about 10 years ago when Utah joined the Pac-12 as a new program, and the first couple of seasons, the bumps and bruises along the way. I don't know how many people out there wondered, man, this is going to be a long road to get into contention here. But obviously, as we've seen, they've competed for Pac-12 conference championships before. They've been there before, and they have a team that now has that kind of annual respect, and it's in large part because of the man in charge in Kyle Whittingham.
With the expansion of college football and conferences and where people fit in, it's a great narrative on a program actually having success. The new commissioner actually mentioned that in our interview, and it has taken some time, but it's a very real thing. And I think when you get some stability at the coaching position, you get a really good coach. You get a university that's committed to infrastructure development with all the facilities. I mean, even the expansion of the stadium, some really, really exciting things happening there. And then to watch it where year in and year out, there's more talent, there's better players than there have been. And so you get a stable coaching position and you keep getting better talent. You're bound to actually be competitive with other teams. And from someone who saw it a long, long time ago in the WAC days, it's truly a remarkable transformation. It makes you wonder, what other teams are out there, because expansion clearly is going to happen, and I think the Pac-12 will eventually do it. What programs fit into the Pac-12 that make sense, that could make this same kind of leap, and maybe even a bigger leap than a team like Utah?
Well, I mean, you're going to look first at, I think if you're the Pac-12 conference, you're keeping a close eye, obviously, on what's going on with the Big 12. Because where are those teams going is, let's say Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC. Does Kansas go to the Big 10? Like, there's been reports, and maybe even Iowa State's had interest in that as well, right? So then you've got these other six, eight programs, whatever, I can't do the math, six programs left in the Big 12. Some of those would be very attractive, I think, to the Pac-12. TCU's, Texas Tech's, as I guess there's been a report.
Who do you think of those teams, though? Because the commissioner said, like, we're not just going to expand
right.
to expand.
Right.
So it's economically, it's got to make sense. I mean, which of all of them that are left, that you've mentioned, who makes sense and who could actually come on board where you go, that's going to add value to the conference?
From a product on the field standpoint, I believe what will add value to the Pac-12 conference, I think Boise State and BYU make a lot of sense. I'll just be honest. And maybe that's just me being a regional from Utah, living in Colorado for as long as I did. Maybe that's just me being that kind of regional, that mountain region type guy. But I do believe they have tradition. They have national brands that people follow. They would add some of that value to the Pac-12.
They actually did, like, some studies, too, where they found that adding – even if the Big 12 were to kind of break up, mm-hmm. whatever version of that would be, the Texas Tech and I think it was Oklahoma State. Those are kind of the class of whatever version.
What about
of the
Baylor?
Well,
yeah,
no,
Baylor,
but they were saying that those schools actually in the study that they did wouldn't have actually added any value to a TV deal.
Right? Because I think too often. Now, I get the whole TV deal thing, right, with the ESPNs and the Fox Sports and whoever you're going to strike your deal with. I get that. I think too often they look at markets and say, oh, we're getting this market, or we want to, that's a small market, we're not interested in that. That's market sizes don't tell the whole story of what that market is. For example, Denver's market 17-ish, I want to say, in the TV markets, right? They are not a college sports town. If you go out and get Colorado State in your conference and you say, hey, we just got the Denver market, that is not true.
Right.
Because I will tell you, and you know, someone who lived in Colorado for 13 years.
It's the Broncos.
Yes.
That's it.
It's a pro sports town. It's
Colorado.
Even the CU Buffs do not bring a huge part of the Denver market to the Pac-12.
Right, sure.
Utah and BYU bring the entire Salt Lake City market, which is market 32 in that ballpark in the country. Anything top 50 is considered large market, right?
Right.
You get BYU and Utah, you've got the entire market 30 in your conference, and that's a good ad.
You don't have Weber State.
Yeah, but
a good argument,
right? You know what I'm getting. So oftentimes we look at market size, and oh, we need to get into the Denver market. We need to get into.
Well, what about Boise then?
I don't think Boise
from that standpoint wouldn't add a lot. But I think it's, if you look at a traditional, I think you make a similar argument like a Gonzaga, right? You've got a team that's traditionally won over the past decade plus. That kind of has built a national brand. So you do bring a little more than just Boise. You bring a little more of their following.
Doesn't bring anything football-wise for you, but I do think that, I don't know, one of the things that I saw, I mean, Scott, you mentioned like pulling Nebraska or, you know, somebody from, you know, that was a traditional rival of Colorado. You kind of bring a – I don't know if San Diego State would add any value.
Right.
But Nebraska certainly would be a ridiculous, you know, pull for them. It would be a program that is historically amazing, multiple national championships in football. And I think that there would be room for a team like a Baylor or even TCU. I mean, you think of TCU, if you got three teams from Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech, and TCU, and then added a Nebraska, you got four teams to go into this Pac-12. You've got a 16-team conference there that is pretty unbelievable in terms of, like, you have a big chunk of Texas there. TCU is, you know, it's not – I mean, they're in Fort Worth, you know. And so then the DFW area. But it's the same thing. They don't bring the DFW market.
Right.
But what they do bring is they're an attractive opponent on television, generally, for ESPN. Baylor's also one of those, and they're a great basketball school on top of that.
Yeah.
And I think Texas Tech could be one of those teams where you go, hey, Texas Tech is like, it's Lubbock, man. It's Lubbock. The only thing that's entertaining about Texas Tech is the fact that they've always fielded a really, really good team in football.
But Lubbock's a fun name to say.
People like saying Lubbock. Yeah, but they have a good basketball school in recent years as well. So all these things, if you can bring in some chunk of Texas and maybe Nebraska, middle of the country, then you're starting to get into an interesting place there. I'm not arguing against BYU doing it. I think the Pac-12 sucks in that sense of shutting BYU out. They will continue to shut BYU out. And Boise State doesn't add up to their academic prowess either.
You're right.
I think that whatever version of the Big 12 that there is, that's where BYU and Boise State and Air Force and maybe Colorado State could find themselves in some version of that.
See, and you have these school presidents, you have these athletic directors that have to make this decision, who gets in and who gets out, and you have all these, you know, academic institutions, and are they going to see the value of having a national brand football and basketball conference? Does it matter enough to these presidents to make some of these moves or to make some of these adjustments in their thinking about some of these programs? Because, you know, there is a brand with BYU that, you know, it has a lot of cachet and a lot of power to it that is worth considering. And you just don't know. You know, it's like trying to do a trial by jury, you know, 12 of your peers and get them all to agree. Tough thing.
How married to the Conference of Champions title is the Pac-12, right? Because when they talk about adding teams, well, we need
eternal marriage,
right? We need
conference of pretty good guys,
right? That can compete across the board in all sports, right? But the fact of the matter is, this is football. It's a football decision. You add teams that add value to football.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that's why Gonzaga doesn't make much sense, even if they are a massive pull on the basketball side of things. All right, Sam. a couple whirlwind days here in L.A., and we're just going to
fun times.
Take a nice little flight home tomorrow, and then we'll be back at it again in Salt Lake City tomorrow. So thanks for hanging out with us. When we come back, we've got a conversation with Devin Lloyd that we had this afternoon that we want you to hear as well. First time anybody's going to be able to hear it is right now around the corner here. Devin Lloyd, number zero, the linebacker from the University of Utah. And then Britton Covey coming up a little bit later as well. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Geary, Scott Mitchell, and we are here at Pac-12 Media Day. And we are super excited to have another member of the University of Utah here with us. We already have Britton Covey on. Hey, Coach Witt. Devin Lloyd joining us on the program now. Devin, thanks for being with us, man.
Of course. Of course.
Why did you come back?
Yeah, what made that decision end up happening? How'd you come to that decision?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things that came into play. Ultimately, I just made a decision that, you know, I wanted to finish my career off differently. I felt like the University of Utah has done so much for me as a person, as a football player, and I didn't want to leave, you know, with only 5 games to show, a 3-2 record, and no fans in the stadium. And I felt like coming back, there was so much more to coming back. You know, a run at a Pac-12 championship with, you know, everybody coming back, the fan with the newly renovated stadium, obviously to continue on Ty Jordan's legacy, and really just to play for something bigger than just myself. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm extremely excited to, you know, be able to play in the NFL, and I know that, you know, I'll set myself up to have a successful career in the NFL someday, but at the same time, the NFL is a business, and it's about money, and you know, college football is completely different from professional football in the aspect of, you know, just camaraderie and, you know, building memories. And it was a whole lot of me more leaning towards the fun football side of it and finishing that the right way and understanding, you know, where I came from to where I am now, that side of it, and just finishing it off the right way versus just leaving to the money, getting to the money right now.
So you were a punter in high school.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, kickers and punters are, like, they're not really football
how
players.
Dare
like,
you.
Like, how did you, like, I don't know, rationalize that in your head? Or were you conflicted?
I don't think
you know?
He only punted in high school.
I know that.
I was an all-star receiver before the punter part.
Yeah, that's true.
Started on varsity. That was my first starting position was a punter. as long as you get on the field.
Right. Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever it takes.
Can you still punt?
You
like
know,
if you had to? Can you do that Aussie-style stuff?
My pride says yes, but I'd probably say 1 out of 10 will actually be a legitimate Pac-12 punt.
All right, every linebacker who's come through here. And I got to ask you this, are you mad at the world? Do you have to be mad at the world to play linebacker?
You have to be mad at the world to play whenever you're in between those lines. But outside of those lines, I'm not mad at the world. I'm, you know, extremely grateful for my life. But that's the mentality you have to have, you know, whenever you're playing. It's just that aggression, that physicality, and then still being a smart player, still playing with good technique under control, but that relentless attitude.
Coach Witt was a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And do you draw anything from him? Does he, like, help you get mad at things? Or how is he? Does he ever get mad?
Yeah, he'll get mad whenever you know.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah, but it's all for the right reasons. And, yeah. I mean, you know, I just love his coaching style. It's never, you know, to put you down. It's only whenever you need to be put in check, basically, and, you know, you're doing things that are out of line and whatever it may be, you know. I think he just, you know, does things the right way. You know, he's a great coach.
Devin Lloyd is our guest here on KSL's Unrivaled at Pac-12 Media Day here in Hollywood. It's been a whirlwind couple days. I mean, a lot of stuff's been going on. We've been chatting a lot with a lot of these teams, and everybody has high hopes. Everybody has high expectations. I don't care who you are. Every team has told us that they want to win the Pac-12 championship. Mm-hmm. You guys have been so dang close during your career in mm-hmm. Utah. Is this the year, and how does it happen?
Yeah. Like I said, my pride tells me yes, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to work for it every day, day in and day out. And I think we've set ourselves up tremendously this offseason as a team to accomplish those goals. And I think we're going to continue to put ourselves in a position to accomplish those goals. But you win the Pac-12 right now. You know, you win the Pac-12 in fall camp and in your preparation on game days. And so, you know, as we go on and we get closer and closer to that, we'll realize, you know, how close we are to accomplishing those goals. But until then, we're going to just focus on handling everything that we're supposed to do the right way, day in and day out.
What are you going to do in the NFL when you can't wear zero?
Well, I was just thinking about that. I was hoping that, I mean, everybody can wear regular numbers. I was like, why don't they let
the NFL, they just do not respect zero at all. They're like, we're not doing it.
They used to let people wear zero.
Back until 1973, Scott.
Oh, there was Kenny Burrow. What about double zero?
I'd wear double zero.
Can you wear double?
I don't think you can wear double.
1-0. Oh. Hey, one is better than two, right?
No, nope, they say no.
So you've got this. You've got this young defense, right? And really talented. Like I think it's the most talent Utah's had on defense since joining the Pac-12. But you're the old guy, right? So how where do you find that balance with those younger guys And how much can you really help them?
I would say the front seven is full of older guys.
Which is all that matters, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, Hawati Pututau, Vianne Muala, Mika Tafua, Devin Kafusi, me, you know, Nephi. All of us are either our fourth-year or fifth-year guys.
Yeah.
And so that front seven is good. And then as far as the DBs, we have Vontae, who is a senior, he's in my class, I believe. And then it's starting the younger guys. Then we got the juniors and the sophomores. But it's not too many young guys to where it's out of control. And so, and even the young guys are leaders in their own rights, you know, just based off how they carry themselves. So it's not too much managing you have to do with the starters. Now, the backups, you know, the younger guys, as far as like the second string, that's where more of the managing comes into play. But as far as that goes, I mean, it's pretty smooth as far as managing.
If it doesn't work out football wise, have you thought about like a broadcasting career, like doing the Utah football games as a color commentator? Because he's got he's got the Pacific Island names down way better than ever had them.
He's nailing the
pronunciations.
Like, well, it's not only like he hangs out with these guys,
making
every
you
day.
Look bad, dude. Come on, man, we gotta get this.
I've heard multiple times today that, you know, I have a good voice for commentating and throughout my life. And so somebody had mentioned to me possibly doing, like, voiceover acting and stuff like that. Well, so that may be my career.
We're in L.A. You can find maybe start voicing over some cartoons or something.
Exactly.
Devin Lloyd is our guest.
How do we get a hold of
him? Oh, now that's a really good question. Now that you guys can kind of do whatever you want, you should come host a radio show with us sometimes.
We can make that happen.
I mean, I would be down for that. That would be fun.
See how we do these deals, man? Just talk to them on the radio about it, and then let's see if they're down. Devin, you've got a lot of teams. USC rolled through and acted like they were
USC.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a thing. You guys have never won in the Coliseum. At USC, that must be a massive goal for you guys.
Oh, that is. It's definitely on our schedule, and it's the fine line between humbleness and, you know, just understanding, you know, where we are as a team and, you know, how confident we are. But all I'm going to say is they're a formidable opponent, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fun one.
Devin, we're really glad that you're here, and I'm glad you stayed another year. And we're really looking forward to this season for you and the Utes, and we'll see how the Pac-12 works out. I'm really hoping for a full schedule for you guys to be playing this year. I know you guys are too. All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Did you know 1 in 6 Utah?
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Geary here from Pac-12 Media Days. It's certainly not a pack of people anymore, and there's no more media. It's like us. It is kind of quiet. It has wound down, but it's been quite an eventful couple of days. I have to make a comment. It's not about Pac-12 Media Days, though, Alex.
What is it?
It's anyways, welcome back to the show, all you people out there. Quit it. Knock it off.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So I was reading this article about BYU and the potential of joining the Big 12.
Oh.
And what that might look like.
Bob Bowlsby hates BYU, but keep going.
Do you know what would be just the ultimate insult or just crushing thing?
What?
Is actually to get accepted into the Big 12 and then to have it dissolve.
That's the thing, that would
be painful.
Well, getting
right
the thing is whatever version of if BYU were invited to come to the Big 12, I think they would kind of be eyes wide open knowing that that conference would be extremely different. What did somebody call it? They'd be like the glorified Mountain West. I thought, hey, Mountain West was okay. Glorified Mountain West sounds amazing. You know what? Yeah. New conference, glorified Mountain West. That's what we call it, the glorified Mountain West. And it sounds, it might sound like it's making fun of you, but the reality is we're just calling it, this is the glorified Mountain West. And it's going to be a bunch of teams from the Intermountain West and some teams from Texas who were, well, since put upon. Scott, as we, you hear this music in the background, by the way, it means it's a two-minute drill. And so, by the way, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott.
Oh, knock it off.
I don't know why I sound like that dog on the Hanna-Barbera. Yeah. Remember that dog?
Uh-huh.
You remember that? Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. I just like making fun of Scott. Scott, we got a two-minute drill. What does two-minute drill mean at the end of the show here?
Well, let me tell you. Late in a football game, you have to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. So same way. Don't have a lot of time left, but we got a lot to talk about.
Do we?
So we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we finish the show in stellar fashion. And, of course, we get a trophy because everyone does because we all participate today. We go home with two COVID shots. It looks like masks are coming back into vogue and, of course, a donut.
Did you say in vogue? Did you say I'm in vogue?
Well.
Because we wore masks today?
It's I don't amazing. Know what we are, but we're wearing masks.
Will you explain this to me, Scott? The New York Jets have they're firing up a training camp without Zach Wilson. Will you explain to me what on earth is going on here? The Zach Wilson is one of three first-round draft picks that have not yet signed their rookie contracts. So you don't show – is it because there's a beef that they have? I thought they had already –
It sounds like they want to defer some of the signing bonus. So basically it's a cash flow problem where your signing bonus is worth X.
It was $22.5 million, I think.
And they go,
we'll
give you $10 million this year and $10 million next year, it helps us with cash flow.
And it'd be much nicer to get all that 22 up front. That's what he's saying is give me that 22 up front. Is that what
well,
you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, imagine having that money for like a year. Like, you know, where you actually, you know, had you could invest it. You could do whatever with it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's you definitely want it up front. Now, if it's a situation where it might help the team to sign another player or something like that, then there's that willingness by players to actually defer some of that compensation. They're not going to take it away from you. You're not going to not get it, but it just helps. It helps with the flow of cash.
So
with Maseratis, right? And Zach buying a Maserati, and
he didn't buy it.
Probably having to pay back his agent. He might be in debt right now at $22 million.
$22 million in debt.
I'm joking. You might have $1 million. Remember Shaquille O'Neal? He goes, man, I saw my first deal, and I was in the hole after about a week.
There's no way his parents are like, buy me a new house. You know, like that was Lisa's voice, by the way.
I thought that was her.
Buy me a new house. I don't think that's their vibe. So I just want to get it done. I guarantee Zach Wilson just wants to play football, and his agent is saying, this is how the business is done. Just sit back for a minute. We'll figure this thing out.
It's not a good vibe to your first day of training camp to be sitting out. I'm just telling you.
He's probably dying. Yeah. This is a kid who has just been – I mean, training camp starts tomorrow, by the way. So they're just waiting on this thing, I think, to get resolved.
They'll get it figured out.
I hope so. Scott, by the way, this is my favorite. This is my favorite thing about L.A. A couple ladies just wander in here, right, into the place where we're doing our radio show. You're full on in a full cut. By the way, we both have full headsets on. We got the microphone on, right?
Right.
And they wander in here, and you're in full. You're talking to me. You're mid sentence, and she goes, "Hi," and starts talking to you. And I was like, and Dallin is over here, and he's just like, "Excuse me, I gotta talk to you. Dallin? What did you tell them? Was it?" Just said get out of here.
Oh.
I mean, obviously something's going on here that is not your normal deal. So figure it out. You know, this is hi. She just wanted to talk to Scott Mitchell. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Next up on the 2 minute drill, Ron Rivera is frustrated with his team's vaccine hesitancy. Ron Rivera is a cancer survivor. I'm not sure, and they brought that up in the story, and I was like, I'm not sure that has much to do with. With the conversation, except for maybe that he'd be immunocompromised
right.
A little bit more. His team, his
I don't know. I don't understand. Like Nick Rolovich not showing up to the Pac-12 Media Days today. The fallout of that is his university is not happy with him.
Right. His job's on the line.
Listen to how wild it is that the two 21-and-a-half-year-old guys who came to the Pac-12 Media Day got their vaccine and came out here, sacrificed some time, coming out here to answer questions, and you as a head coach don't get the vaccine to come to Pac-12 Media Day, but you send your players to do it.
I think there's two things happening here with this whole vaccination issue, and one is we're so fatigued by all of this. You know, I mean, really, it's just it's like, you know, we came down here, we got our clearance that we were fully vaccinated, and even though we're fully vaccinated, like, put your mask on, right? So we're like, fine, we'll put our mask on. But the other thing is, I think there's so much information out there that's just misleading, and it's like you're trying to figure out what's real and what isn't, and what you're trying to understand, and there's just some crazy theories out there, and they may be true, they may not be true, who knows? But so people are hesitant. There's no unification on this with everyone. People have their own opinions, they have their own feelings about things, and it just makes it hard for things to happen. You know, we're of the camp, get vaccinated, it's not that big a deal, but there are people out there that really are concerned about if they get vaccinated, and it's a real concern to them, and it creates issues like this with whether Ron Rivera or Nick Rolovich from Washington State not wanting to show up. And you know, I don't know what the answer is, because what if those people are right and down the road 5 or 6 years it's like, boy, we should not have gotten vaccinated, it was the worst thing to happen. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's one of those things.
Okay.
Alex, you have been here way too long. Like really, it's
okay. Yeah. That's a great point, Scott. Yeah, hey, final
couple, turned on backwards. It's
final couple low. Minutes here. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers reports to training camp. Scott, after all that, Aaron Rodgers has reported to training camp earlier than Zach Wilson did. I am just absolutely flabbergasted by the whole deal. I cannot believe that he showed up to camp before Zach Wilson did. But here we are. Aaron Rodgers is reported to training camp, and the standoff is there, and that's it. So
well, I think it's probably – it's a good thing for the NFL. It's a good thing for the Packers. It's a good thing for Aaron Rodgers. It feels like whatever issue he had, and I still don't think we understand all of the ins and outs of what actually is going on. So I'm just glad to see this happen. The thing that I was so concerned about is where Aaron Rodgers was going with this is literally just like, I mean, it would have just been so damaging to his reputation, to his legacy with the Packers. And that's something maybe he couldn't fully appreciate today, but down the road as he gets older, it's one of those things you go, you know, why was I, you know, so vigilant about being, you know, standing on the sword and being so hard to deal with back in the day. But I'm just glad it all worked out, and I'm really sure Zach Wilson's situation is going to get worked out as well.
Yeah, the NBA is going to keep the play-in tournament. They decided that the situation with the how did they do it? It was the 9 and the 10 playing for a chance.
It was a little convoluted because it's like
play the 8.
It's 7 and 8 play each other.
Yes,
the winner's in.
Yeah,
the loser has to play the winner of the two teams that are out. So last year, 7 and 8 played.
I remember knowing what it was when it was going on.
And 7 was Memphis, right?
No,
they were out.
No,
it was the Lakers. The Lakers won.
Right.
And so then Golden State had to play the winner of Memphis and was it the Pelicans or it was somebody? Maybe it was OKC. I don't know. Anyways, Memphis
won. This was like 2 weeks ago.
Memphis won.
Now LeBron hates the play-in tournament,
right? And then Memphis played Golden State, and then Memphis beat Golden State because otherwise Utah would have played Golden State in the first round.
Oh my gosh, this was I think we nailed it. I think you nailed it. No, we did.
It's a little convoluted.
Are you glad that they're keeping it though?
I
it's just extra basketball. Who cares?
I think what it does is for those teams kind of on the verge or outside that they really fight as the season goes on, because I don't like the tanking thing, and I don't know that it fully eliminates it, but it gives more people a chance to be in the playoffs.
They give the Lakers a chance to fight their way back in case they get left behind. All right, I have many thanks to give before we get out here. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, live from Pac-12 Media Day. Dallin Graff, hooking up everything, making sure it all worked, and getting all of our gear done and figured out, and he's been awesome. Jess jumping in on the board tonight, absolutely amazing, back in Salt Lake City. And Jeremy, our producer, always producing the heck out of it. So, and all of our TV colleagues who've been helpful here in the Pac-12 has been massively helpful, and all the players and coaches from across the Pac-12. So, for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We will be back again tomorrow night, and we'll be back in Salt Lake at some point in the next 12 hours. So, for Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you then, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.